Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome, everybody, into the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Honored to have you with us. I'm in NYC. This is Buck. Clay out in Nashville, Tennessee. We have so much to tell you about today. Big Bird, all 8 feet of them, getting interviewed, pushing the vaccine, saying it's so important. We'll talk about that bit of propaganda, given that children are now cleared by the FDA for a vaccine that the numbers certainly say they do not need. We've also got the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals stepping in to say, hold on a second with that federal vaccine mandate. Lawyer Hat Clay will be jumping in with me on that one to talk about all of the latest. Plus, Aaron Rodgers getting some heat from Howard Stern, among many, many others in the actual sports media, over his comments on vaccines, the fact that he did not get vaccinated. You got the possible banning of Let's Go Brandon shirts from certain sports venues. And then the third hour of the program, just to give you a heads up, we got Senator Ron Johnson of the great state of Wisconsin on those migrant flights, the southern border, so much more, the Build Back Better agenda. But first, let's get into Biden. Joe Biden, how's it going? How's it going, Joe? No joke, not so good. Not if you look at his numbers, not if you see what's actually happening in the eyes of the American people. The latest right now is that you've got Biden with a 37%, according to USA Today poll, approval rating, 59% disapproval. The good news for Biden is that people are even more disapproving of Kamala Harris. So not that anyone really cares, but if you think she's going to take over for him at some point, it does matter. Harris has a 27% approval rating, 51% disapproving. And this comes right when we've seen the infrastructure bill pass, going to Biden's desk. Clay, it seems to me like they've been hoping after the Tuesday election shellacking that they took, oh, we're going to start spending a bunch of money and people are going to realize things are much better than they think they are. So far, that at least has not sunk in yet. And I think the Biden administration is running out of rabbits to pull out of the hat, so to speak. I think they're running out of room to maneuver.
At some point, Buck, you get defined and you are what people decide that you are. And that can be both good or bad. And Biden, it is very, very bad. 37-38% approval rating in the most recent USA Today poll. Kamala Harris, 28%. Putting those numbers into context, Buck, in no point in either of our lives have a president and a vice president been this lowly regarded by the American public. I mean, you and I are around, you're about to have the 40th birthday, two generations between us.
Mm-hmm.
Never in either of our lives has there ever been a point where a president and a vice president were this far underwater. And I just saw, as you started the show, CNN came out with their own poll. And it said, does Biden have the right priorities? 42% said yes, 58% said no. When a CNN poll is nearly 60%, Biden has the wrong priorities and the way that they are collapsing, 36%, Buck, of independents said that Joe Biden has the right priorities. Only 75% of Democrats said Joe Biden has the right priorities. This is an unmitigated disaster for the Democratic Party. And the question, we said, what was going to be the fallout? Well, we'll talk about infrastructure, I'm sure, during the course of today's show and the decisions that were made there. But the biggest fallout in terms of the midterm so far is the number of Democrats. I think we're up to 12 now, who hold House of Representatives seats and are not rerunning. Most of those very competitive marketplaces. And if you look at the overall trend lines for which party is favored, we're talking about 40 or 50 seats potentially that the Democrats are going to lose in 2022, which means the Republicans would have a decent majority.
I believe it was Yogi Berra who said deja vu all over again. And that's with 2010. That's a way of looking at this with the 2010 midterm election that Obama faced. Those numbers, the Tea Party wave, which changed the Republican Party, changed conservatism for a generation, really. Look at how many people came into politics at that point in time and what an upsurge there was from the grassroots level. I think you're facing something similar. And you can tell the White House is a little bit flustered. Here's Joe Biden on the migrant payment issue. which last week, remember, we were all saying this is a total outrage. I mean, $450,000 a person
for people
for families,
who missed that story. Yeah,
for people who are separated under the Trump administration. Of course, they always have to say under the Trump administration because Trump was so, you know, heartless and all this other stuff. $1 million per family. Biden said that was malarkey. He didn't use that word. Sometimes he says that, but he didn't use that word. But he said this is, you know, basically crap. And now it turns out, no, it's not. So instead of Biden having the humility to realize or the humility to say to everybody, OK, I didn't know what was going on in my own administration, he just starts yelling, angry old man, get off my lawn style. At a reporter. Here he is.
Where do you stand? You said last week that this report about migrant families at the border getting payments was garbage.
No, I didn't say that. Let's get it straight. You said everybody coming across the border gets $450,000.
The number was what you had a problem with.
The number I was referring to.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing.
Sure.
If, in fact, because of the outrageous behavior of the last administration, you coming across the border, whether it was legal or illegal, and you lost your child. You lost your child. It's gone. You deserve some kind of compensation, no matter what the circumstance. What that will be, I have no idea. I have no idea.
Okay, I disagree. And also, it matters a lot how much money it is, Clay. It matters a lot to people that can't pay their bills.
How many kids are lost, Buck? I mean, is this a common thing where they have no idea where the kids are? It just doesn't seem like that's very common
to
me.
So what's ended up
happening? That would be a fairly substantial story.
What's ended up happening? I've spoken to people I know in border customs and border patrol and immigrations and customs enforcement about this. And what's ended up happening was that there were kids who were separated, but usually they were put with other family members.
Right.
And then the parent was either let into the U.S. or in some cases, if they were deported, but they've been placed with a family member or they've been placed with a safe home. So every circumstance is unique about this, or, you know, every individual case. But let's remember that the basic premise of this was we did not have facilities. For anybody who wants to know what happened, all the facilities at the southern border are built for single adult males, essentially.
Because most people historically crossing into the country have been doing so to work, and the general consensus has been they send money back to the countries that they're from, and they may go back and forth as the seasons change. That's the general consensus on who comes across the border historically.
Correct. And So they built all these facilities for that. And then what happened, I've seen these facilities. They are not nice, by the way. They are not pleasant places to be, but, you know, you're supposed to be held in them for a couple of days and then be deported is actually the way their system is supposed to be. They're not supposed to spend a long time there. But because of the Flores decree, which comes from a judge, it says you can only hold children for 20 days. Families came in. They realized they could intentionally overwhelm the system at the border. And then we would not have the processing and holding capability. So then they would just be let into the country. So there was an intentional overwhelming of the system. That was the whole point of it. And then sometimes because you had people who had to be detained and processed, we didn't have the ability to hold children with them at the time. They've since built different facilities, and now they have a different process in place. So there were some families that were separate at the border. The Trump administration did change that, Clay, because they did have there was a humanitarian concern and outcry. Says, all right, we'll figure this out. But initially, it was just like if you had been arrested for drunk driving and there was no relative to take a child who was in the back seat into custody, the state would take custody of that child while you were processed and held in jail and go through that whole system. Because they're breaking the law. This is the part of this. Democrats don't view this as in any way actually illegal and problematic. So they skip that part to it. And it turns into we owe these migrants not just money. We owe them the right to stay here forever. That's what they really think. And that's where the American people are saying, hold on. So they're going to get to stay because, by the way, Clay, they are.
Yes.
And they're going to get a huge check. I mean, more than, as you pointed out, it's more than the average American household is going to make in almost a decade.
Yes.
Probably tax free because it's federal government paying the fee. And Biden acts like this is no big deal.
And you're further incentivizing the decision that was made in the first place, which is think about how in a, you know, literal game in many ways of telephone, this is going to work its way back to Central American and Latin American countries. It's going to be not only is the United States the land of milk and honey, but they're giving people hundreds of thousands of dollars when they come across the border. Do you think people are going to understand the nuance that Joe Biden is trying to make here? And again, the larger point, too, is how many families are entitled to this? Okay, Joe Biden says it's not going to be $450,000. Let's say it's going to be $350,000. How many American taxpayers' dollars, hundreds of millions? What's the total cost here? How many people are going to be paid out under this procedure? And again, Buck, the bigger picture question, I think, that is a really good one to put in context is, this is more than we often are paying families in America whose sons or daughters are being killed while serving in our armed forces.
There's about 1,000, by the way. That's the 300 parents of separated children have still not been located. I wanted to check because you asked for the number. And yeah, about 1,000 families in total had some form of separation. So just so everyone understands, there are hundreds and hundreds of thousands that are crossing, that have crossed illegally, families into the country.
Yes.
So this was not, they make it sound like the Trump administration policy
of the overall
was to
number.
Intentionally pull everyone apart and not, no, they were trying to reunite everybody. But also when people come into the country illegally and they don't want to be processed through the system, they don't want to show up at their court hearings, they don't speak English, they don't have they don't have a legal right to be in the country in the first place, they're less likely to work through the system to find out what's actually going on with a separated child. And remember, sometimes it was with parents, sometimes with aunts and uncles. They're trying to get together with family members that are already in the country. The whole thing was a mess, but the entire plan was to overwhelm the system. And so the way Biden and the Democrats are setting this up, you're rewarding people for the intentional act of, we are overwhelming the system. You know,
yes,
if you intentionally, you know, fill a restaurant with five times as many people as are legally allowed to be inside under the fire code, and then, you know, you have to evacuate for some reason and some people get hurt leaving it, the people intentionally overwhelming the facility are making a very bad decision and should not do that, right?
If they shouldn't be rewarded.
Should not be rewarded for it. And
yes,
so this is the look. Yeah, you should reunite everybody. They're trying to do that, no question. But to pay them $450,000 is a slap in the face to a lot of people in this country who are saying, hold on a second. I mean, Clay, there was an article over the weekend in the San Francisco Chronicle, you see this, where there are people wondering aloud, maybe we should just tolerate burglary.
Yes,
maybe we should just accept property crime. People are going to come into your house. They're going to steal your stuff. It's not that big a deal. Let them take your e-bike and your iPad and your whatever. You can buy more. This is redistributive justice. This is what the left, the lunacy of the left has taken it to now, where you have prosecutors and other people saying, oh, I don't know if really we're going to actually even enforce those laws. Meanwhile, the laws for, you know, illegal immigrants now, it's not even just they're going to let them into the country, but some of them are going to get huge checks, more than people make in a decade.
This is just an expansion of what's going on in the Bay Area in general, where they no longer enforce shoplifting. And now they're essentially saying if people want to walk into your home and steal, they can do that. But oh, by the way, simultaneously, while they're saying you should just get used to burglary, they're also saying you need to have your five-year-old's vaccine passport in order to go into McDonald's and get a quarter pounder for your kid or chicken nuggets.
It's madness. We are up against a lot of madness in this country.
Yes.
That's the short version.
People, that is very accurate.
A large portion of the country that happen to be Democrats and vote for Biden have completely lost their minds. So that'll be a theme that we continue to come back to today. We got more on this. Plus the Aaron Rodgers, Howard Stern thing. Clay's going to tee off on that one a little bit. There's a way for you to easily save $50 or $60 a month on your cell phone bill. Switch to Pure Talk Cellular from your current cell phone carrier. Pure Talk is on the exact same 5G network using the exact same towers as one of the big three carriers. And Pure Talk has this offer: unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data on Pure Talk's 5G network, just $30 a month. For families using Pure Talk, the average family is saving over $800 a year. And switching is so easy. You can keep your number and your phone. Pure Talk sends you a new SIM card and you swap it out. This month, get Pure Talk's Black Friday prices on new phones like the iPhone 12, Clay, just $479.
Yeah, and not only that, great deal there. Pure Talk's a top-rated wireless company as measured by Consumer Affairs. Customer service based here in the U.S. My own 13-year-old, he's in eighth grade, he has a Pure Talk phone, absolutely loves it. They have a 30-day risk-free guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. From your cell phone, how do you sign up and save up to $800 a year? Dial #250 and say Pure Talk, and you'll save 50% off your first month, and you'll be able to save on a new phone as well. That's #250, say Pure Talk. Some restrictions apply. Call for detail. Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us as we roll through the Monday edition of the program. Late on Friday night, so late, in fact, that many people may well have missed it, especially as you rolled into your busy Saturday and Sundays. The Democrats passed the infrastructure bill in the House that had been pending since all the way back in August, Ron Klain, who is maybe the default president of the United States, given that Joe Biden can barely string a couple of functional sentences together, exulted over the passage and said it was a result of Tuesday's midterm, or I guess off midterm elections.
The voters sent a message on Tuesday. They wanted to see more action in Washington. They wanted to see things move more quickly. And 3 days later, Congress responded, passing the president's infrastructure bill. But a lot of work went into getting us there over the past few months. So I don't think the election alone put it over the line. What put it over the line was President Biden starting back in April, putting it before the country, working with Democrats and Republicans in the Senate to get it through the Senate in August, working with a broad coalition in the House to finally pass it. You know, Chuck, this is the oldest show on television, as you know. As long as the show's been on the air, people have come on the show and said we should make a massive investment in infrastructure to grow the economy, to strengthen the thing. We finally did it on Friday. That's the bottom line for us, I think.
Okay, Buck, here's the question. This had already received the votes of 19 Republicans in the Senate, this infrastructure bill. 13, I believe, was the total. Republicans in the House voted for this infrastructure bill. If Republicans had stood strong and not supported any of the infrastructure, then this bill would not have been able to pass because Democrats had revolts from the left wing in their party, the AOC crew. So, Buck, the reason they did this ostensibly is because they believe now that infrastructure has passed, that it's going to make it very hard for the Build Back Better agenda, for the budget reconciliation bill, whatever dollar figure you want to put on it, $1.75, $3.5, $4 trillion, massive bill that Joe Biden is trying to push through. Right move, wrong move for Republicans in the House to help this pass? Is their gamble the right one?
Clay, there are a lot of people on the right are very upset about this.
I know.
You've got even here in New York City, one of the members of Congress, Nicole Malliotakis, whom I've interviewed, I know a little bit from work. She voted along with it. I mean, there are people who and getting a lot of heat because for them the infrastructure thing this turns into a pork situation. New York City, for example, is going to get a lot of money out of this. So if you represent a district in New York City, it becomes very tempting, even as a Republican, because. Yeah, the national level GOP might get mad at you, but the folks that are actually in your district, when they start hearing about money for this, money for that, that's where I think some of them went wrong, Clay. They shouldn't have gone along with it, and I think some of them are going to get primaried because of it. That's what I see happening.
They should have held the line. To me, it's a big gamble because they guarantee $1 trillion in spending. And now they're hoping that you're going to blow up a couple of $1 trillion in spending, and you're basically relying on Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema in the Senate, the Arizona and the West Virginia senators in the Democratic Party to blow this thing up and torpedo it. That feels like a really big gamble to me, Buck. When we come back, more COVID insanity. We'll tell you the latest on that. But in the meantime, chronic pain, disabling keeps you from living a full life. If you or a family member are experiencing serious pain, you know what I'm talking about. Fortunately, there is a solution. It's Relief Factor. 100% drug-free product made for you. They've developed a 3-week quick start pack, Relief Factor, 3 times a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 3 weeks, and you'll know if it works for you or not. Hundreds of thousands of people have tried. About 70% of them have gone on to order more. Amazing odds. Relief Factor works for 7 in 10 people, including Buck's dad and my wife. Are you one of those 7 who will live your life in less pain? If so, you need to join the more than 500,000 people and order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. ReliefFactor.com, 800-4-RELIEF, $19.95, 3-week quick start, ReliefFactor.com, or 800-4-RELIEF.
It's the Democrats who seem to be, I mean, I travel in every state now, back on the road, and the red states are a joy, and the blue states are a pain in the ass, for no reason.
There you go. Welcome back to Clay and Buck Show. That was actually Bill Maher, a man of the left, but a man who does see some things clearly, who goes around. Clay, I think, unlike a lot of people in the media, a lot of people at CNN, Washington Post, New York Times, Bill, because he does stand-up comedy, he goes to states around the country. It would be amazing if you actually polled the New York Times and Washington Post newsroom, how many of the people that are writing about the country have been outside of the New York or D.C. metro area in the last 18 months. And I think you'd be stunned to find out that Well, actually, probably not. A lot of you know this, but I think it would be stunning to some folks to find that there are so many people that think that they understand the country who don't even go. They don't know what it's like in Texas. Maybe don't even know what it's like in Florida right now. Blue states, a pain in the ass for no reason. I'm in one in New York. And yes, New York City is a pain in the butt about COVID stuff for no good reason. The new mayor, Eric Adams, soon to be new mayor, mayor-elect, just came out and said he'll think about maybe getting rid of the mask mandate in schools. We're supposed to be thankful that our abusers will stop abusing us and our children? Is that how this works? It's the right move, but it's hard to be thankful for it when they're just deciding to stop being so crazy. But understand this, they're not done. They're not done. They want to fight this all the way on the OSHA mandate. What's the point of Congress when you have OSHA? Think about what they did with the CDC. They tried to extend an eviction moratorium using the Centers for Disease Control. Now they're telling you that OSHA can mandate over 100, and we'll get to what happens with less than 100 employee businesses in a moment, over 100 employees, a federal regulatory agency can just say, yeah, you have to get a shot that, not to overstate it, but this is a fact, can harm and even kill you. It is possible. There have been cases of people who have, it's very rare, but who have had adverse reactions to the shot, just like with any pharmaceutical, any intervention. The state's going to make you do this. Ron Klain, as Clay and I like to refer to him, the kind of de
facto president of the United States.
De facto chief decider, the decider in chief of the United States. Here he is saying, look, if they can make you wear a hard hat on a construction site, they can force a shot on your arm, probably your 5 year olds, arm too. Seven.
Look, these vaccine requirements have been litigated up and down the courts all over the country. State requirements, for example, one in Maine, and every single court before this one ruled that they were valid. The Supreme Court has turned back several times already various efforts to enjoin other vaccine requirements. I'm quite confident that when this finally gets fully adjudicated, not just a temporary order, the validity of this requirement will be upheld. It's common sense, Chuck. If OSHA can tell people to wear a hard hat on the job, to be careful on chemicals, it can put in place these simple measures to keep our workers safe.
It's not the same thing, Clay.
It's not the same thing at all. Look, OSHA on the job. If you are working in an asbestos-laden factory, OSHA can come in and determine whether or not your working conditions are safe. But they directly pertain to the working conditions themselves. And also, there's a wide variety of different requirements. I mean, we said it last week. It's 490 pages, these OSHA regulations. And what he's referring to is the Fifth Circuit of the United States, which is traditionally a conservative federal circuit, has suggested that they may stop the enforcement of the Biden vaccine requirement. And I think what that would likely lead to, Buck, is ultimately a conflict among the circuits. And for people out there who don't understand it, our federal courts are set up in a variety of different circuits. And I used to know them all off the top of my head, and I'd be able to run through them. But for instance, California is in the Ninth Circuit. Texas, Louisiana, Fifth Circuit. My home state of Tennessee, where I am licensed to practice law, Sixth Circuit. And oftentimes what the Supreme Court ends up doing is when you have conflicting circuit court rulings, which I believe is likely, you'll have the California's, the more liberal circuit court, saying, oh, of course OSHA has the right to do this. And then you'll have more conservative circuits saying they don't. The Supreme Court's going to have to break this tie. And Buck, to me, this is a massive opportunity and also a massive obligation and responsibility for the courts to overrule the federal regulatory state here and not allow OSHA to implement vaccine requirements on the vast majority of the American populace who is going to work. Will they do it? That's the question.
Yeah, I think you've got, right off the bat, you know, you got three votes that are sure as heck going to say shots every day forever, you, your kid, they don't care. Whatever the Leviathan wants to do out of D.C. under the Biden administration, you got three Supreme Court justices that are going to say, oh, yeah, that's great. Six that could go either way. I got to tell you, Kavanaugh and Barrett, I don't think they're solid on this one. I don't think they're solid on this one at all.
They need to be. They need to be really solid on saying that this cannot be permitted to occur. And this, by the way, is the kind of Supreme Court opinion that lasts and matters for potentially hundreds of years. Because this won't be the last time there is a pandemic in the United States, right?
I think everyone needs to understand that if this is hell, if let's say Ron Klain is right, and it's just like, this is like the morons that were saying at the very beginning.
Yeah, just like
it's all like seatbelts. Everything is like seatbelts. We can make you do anything. We can make you mask up all day. We can make you stand 6 feet apart. We can make you do jumping jacks because we think it'll be good for your circulation and help you against COVID. That actually would be true, by the way.
I wish they'd mandate exercise instead of mandating vaccines.
But we can do all of that because of seatbelts. That was the argument from the dumb set in the very beginning of this. And they've kind of keep going back to this. If this is true, the federal government can mandate flu shots for everybody, too.
No doubt.
And as we know, flu shots, you know, efficacy is usually 50-60%. And, you know, and at that point, you say, well, what else are they going to mandate for health and safety? Because we've adopted, or at least a big portion of the country has adopted, this zero risk posture about all aerosolized and respiratory viruses. Will that just extend into the rest of the culture always and forever? They're thinking about combining the COVID and flu shot, Clay.
Well, think about this, Buck, and this didn't get very much attention, but I saw it and I couldn't believe it. Over the weekend, the Florida Gator football team, they got destroyed by South Carolina. Congrats to the Gamecocks on a big win. The coach of the Florida Gators, Dan Mullen, came out and said one reason why we lost is because we had 20 to 30 players who had tested positive for the flu. Buck, they all traveled and they played, no restrictions at all in their ability to play in the game. If they had tested positive for COVID instead, which is actually statistically less dangerous to most young people in the country, they would have not only not been able to play, they would have quarantined and they would have had to forfeit. So how in the world are you justifying, even for the virus people out there, 20 or 30 people have the flu, which can spread during games, all the players go and play. And by the way, I think that's fine. But if it had been COVID, they would have shut down the game and canceled it.
It would be fascinating to see. I got some answers on where the CDC director, Rochelle Walensky, the little propagandist for the Biden administration pretending to be doing medicine, where the 80%, this is looking at observational studies of N95 mask usage in a clinical setting. So they're pretending that
for people who forgot yesterday or Friday, she said mask wearing would eliminate 80% of COVID,
which is completely insane. I mean, that's the fact that she says that out loud and doesn't expect to be mocked and ridiculed just shows you where the experts really are at this point. But it would be fascinating to see a study at this stage. And we'll have to go through, I suppose, the winter to really know. I'd be willing to bet that you'll find that the seasonal flu, which people think we might have a pretty bad flu year.
Yes.
I've got a couple friends that are sick right now.
Yeah.
I've had family members who are sick.
It's spreading pretty significantly.
Definitely stuff going around. Is the flu for a young person more dangerous, because they're not mandating flu shots, than a young person who has the COVID shot or COVID antibodies? I think the answer you're going to find is probably yes.
Yes.
So if we're mandating all this stuff to protect you from COVID, even though your risk as a person in the lower age brackets is very minimal, why wouldn't they mandate it all for the flu? It is incoherent.
How does it ever end? If you're going to start mandating it for the flu and every viral season, kids are going to be wearing masks.
Do you remember
forever?
At the very beginning of all this, Clay, we would say, guys, we had on an average flu season 40, and in a bad flu season 80,000 Americans die a year.
And
we never masked up. We
attention.
Never did all these things. And all they kept saying was, it's so different from the flu. It's going to be. And now we're looking to saying, well, yeah, it's worse for older people and those who are at high risk. But now we're looking at a situation where this is actually kind of like the flu.
Yes.
That's actually where
it's never going to go away. And you're going to have to get a shot every year for the rest of your life.
In case you've forgotten, Fauci is the worst person on the planet. All right, Legacy Box. Simply the best company to preserve your past memories captured on videotape, film, and more. This company, Legacy Box, sends you a box to fill with old home movies and pictures. You send it back and they'll do the rest, digitizing your moments onto a thumb drive, the cloud, or DVD. It's like magic. If you're like most, there's one box in your house that has all those videotapes, film reels, and photos. Each of them contains sentimental, meaningful, irreplaceable moments. Save these from being destroyed by floods or fires. Each item is hand-digitized by a team of over 200 trained technicians right in Tennessee. They've got great online tracking, and they provide you with a dozen emailed updates along the way. Clay, it's amazing. I've done it. I sent in my photos. It was so easy.
Yeah, and right now you're getting early access to a Black Friday sale. Visit legacybox.com/clayandbuck to unlock a discount for their Black Friday sale. That's legacybox.com/clayandbuck. Best deal of the year. legacybox.com/clayandbuck. Welcome back in. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. Finishing off the first hour, Monday edition of the program. 5-year-old vaccines, that's where everything is headed. And CNN, as the official government propaganda arm, I can't believe this is real, but some of you may have seen these clips. They interviewed on CNN Big Bird, and I think it was Big Bird's mom, about needing to get the vaccine and how excited. This is Dr. Sanjay Gupta talking with Big Bird. I think this is during a town hall this weekend on CNN. Sesame Street characters are explaining the fact that they are getting the COVID vaccine. Listen.
Have you decided if Big Bird's going to be getting the vaccine?
Yes, I did. I asked my questions and I got my answers, and I've scheduled an appointment for my grandson. We're leaving in a few minutes. Okay. Now, I just need to get one last thing before we go to your appointment, Big Bird.
Okay.
I'll be right back.
All right. I have one more question. Well, I'm a little scared to get the shot because I don't like needles. Will it hurt?
Buck. They also had Elmo. Now, what's crazy about this is so many people out there criticize people who listen to this show, and they're like, how would you trust Clay Travis and Buck Sexton to share COVID opinions with you? They're not doctors. Yet CNN has got all of this propaganda that they are bringing to bear on the idea of 5 to 11-year-olds getting the vaccine. And as we pointed out, the city of San Francisco is requiring 5-year-olds to be vaccinated and have their vaccine passports in order to go inside and get some chicken McNuggets. And I mean, this is crazy.
It's completely insane. And if you really just look at the numbers, if you look at the data sets that we already have, let's just assume for a second. I would note that this is obviously an unscientific poll, but even among the followers of actress/activist/idiot Alyssa Milano, who I had the misfortune of interviewing some years ago, and she actually thought that it would get her far to have her PR people complain to my then boss, not on radio, but on TV, that I was too abrupt or something with her. I was like, she's absolutely horrible. But she did a poll, will you get your kids? And the numbers were overwhelming of her followers. She's a left-wing activist. People saying, no, I'm not going to get my kid vaccinated. Let's assume that we just look at the numbers for a second. We look at the numbers and we find out that it's very unlikely, let's say, that you're going to have some adverse reaction as a kid. It's a low risk. But look at how low the risk is of a child being hospitalized or dying from COVID. Which one is actually going to end up being more? When you're talking about a 1 in 1,000 mortality rate from the virus, what's the mortality rate going to be? Remember, we had that case confirmed in Oregon. A woman got the shot, had a heart issue, died. Okay. Now I understand it's very rare, but what's the confirmed number going to be, or what's the number going to end up being, of children that have a really severe adverse reaction to the shot versus those who have a really severe COVID infection? I mean, one in a million is like, you start to look at, this is considered safe in most contexts for drugs that people take and things they do. One in a million isn't something you worry about, Clay. So what happens when we line these two things up?
No doubt. And by the way, we've never actually said, hey, you need to get a flu vaccine or a flu shot for young kids. Never occurred. Yet right now, when you think about it, there is far more risk to kids, young kids, from the seasonal flu than there is from COVID. And so this idea that so many parents out there are just going to meekly acquiesce to this request is, to me, terrifying. And I hope there's enough parents out there to fight, because I believe that this vaccine mandate for children, as controversial as the federal vaccine mandate is for adults, the fact that we have got kids potentially here is going to be a battle the likes of which we've never really seen.
The next two phases of their incrementalism are going to be mandates for kids for schools. That's already in some states. They're going to push it in more places, depending obviously how the court battles all play out. And also, what about companies with less than 100 employees? Here's the Surgeon General.
Nothing is off the table at this moment, but the focus right now is on implementing the current rule that OSHA put out. And finally, let me just emphasize that these rules actually work. What we've seen in a report issued recently was that on average, businesses that put these requirements in place see a 20% increase in vaccination rates, often boosting them into the 90s. So if we realize, as we have over the past year, that vaccination is one of our key pathways out of this pandemic, these requirements will do a lot to get us to where the finish line.
I always start to flip out, Clay, when they say this thing of, yeah, if we're going to sue you and or, you know, fine you into oblivion or cost you your job, more people will get the shot. Yes, this is true of all different forms of tyrannical policy. If you threaten people with things, some people will do it. They act like this is some revelation.
If you hold a gun in front of me and say, give me your wallet, I will give you my wallet. That's not because I want to give you my wallet or because it's a particularly good decision for us to be incentivizing.
Imagine if I interviewed your armed robber and he was like, yes, but my mandate for Clay to give me his wallet was so effective. That's not the point.
And also, it's not ending. And I think this is a big part of this story in general. Just over the weekend, the NBA, National Basketball Association, said that players who had been vaccinated had to get the booster. And if they didn't get the booster, Buck, they were going to be treated as if they were unvaccinated. So now, and this is not going to be unique to the NBA, this is going to be a lot of different employers out there. The standard for fully vaccinated is going to continue to move. Are you going to have to get a booster every 6 months for the rest of your life in order to be considered fully vaccinated from COVID? Is this really where we're headed? I think the answer, unfortunately, is yes. Aaron Rodgers stood up to it. Howard Stern was not happy about this. We're going to have some fun at the start of the next hour.
I'm going to have to start showing up in my... I got to get an Aaron Rodgers jersey. Start showing up to do the show in my Aaron Rodgers jersey. Because he's now... We got Kyrie Irving as my favorite NBA player.
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers, my favorite NFL player. So I'm excited to get into this one, Clay, because they're so... I'm pretty sure there was an NFL player who just killed someone in a car accident.
Yeah, that happened.
Less coverage of that, outrage coverage of that, than what we see from Aaron Rodgers on his shot. We should talk about it.
For sure.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.